The American history that we're taught is often filled with heroic deeds and noble people. Some of that's true, but the real history, with all the twists, the turns, even the failures, can be more interesting and even inspiring.
Sarah Vowell is adept at bringing out the complexities and humor of our country's early years, and her latest book is no exception. It's called Lafayette in the Somewhat United States. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, there are a lot of characters in early American history, and I mean character in every sense of the word. Why did you decide to focus this book on the Marquis de Lafayette?
I mean, in the beginning, way back when I started the thing, it had as much to do with the American people's regard for Lafayette as his own story. I originally wrote a short piece about his return visit to the United States in 1824 as an old man coming back as the last living general from the Continental Army coming over from France, and it was such a huge big deal, that trip. It lasted over a year, and more than half the population of New York City met his ship. And originally, I was just so attracted to how Americans agreed about him. Mm. I mean, by 1824, you know, the Civil War is kind of starting to simmer to the surface, and the North and the South are ever more divided, and the left and the right, as always, and the whole country just welcomed him as one, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that seemed exotic. I mean, I was just listening to your news broadcast, you know. I mean, there's always so much contention, especially in terms of our elected officials and the country. We're constantly told how divided we are, and I suppose there's a lot of evidence for that. So originally, I just thought, oh, how nice it would be to write about someone all Americans once loved. And then I started the research, and once he gets here, I mean, every step of the story, there's just squabbling and bickering amongst the founding fathers, between the Continental Congress and the Continental Army. Then when he comes back in 1824, there's a big contentious presidential election. Everyone, all the American factions are at each other's throats, at least rhetorically. And then when I started researching the book, it coincided with the government shutdown of 2013, mm-hmm. and I couldn't visit historic sites administered by the federal government because they were closed because, you know, the government our founders founded was based on a separation of powers, and sometimes that leads to, you know, separation. So Lafayette, the thing that drew me to him, I kept coming up against the flip side of that, you know, that there's never been any agreement. I mean, in your newscast just now, you're talking about the, you know, the chaos within just the Republican Party, and that's very American, you know. I mean, even in writing about the late 18th century, the Quakers are a complete mess. You know, some of them are still neutral and nonviolent. And
right,
some
and
of
then
them
there
are
the fighting Quakers, too.
Yeah, and some of them are fighting in the militias and the army. So this kind of splintered quality of our culture goes back to the founding. And Lafayette is, I mean, it's just that every time I try to pinpoint him somewhere on the space-time continuum to talk about the context of some battle or some diplomatic event between America and France, there's always this sort of disorderly buzzing behind him.
So I do think that Lafayette is a fascinating character in that kind of victory lap of the United States in the early 19th century. But for him to do that victory lap, he had to first come that first time. And Lafayette came to offer his services to the American Revolution at an incredibly young age. He was only 19 years old.
That's right.
And he was an orphan and an aspiring military man. So here he arrives, and there is General George Washington in front of him, a father figure and a military mentor all rolled into one. Tell us about their relationship in the beginning.
Well, at first, you know, this is it's another year or so before there's an official alliance between France and the American rebels, and the rebels have sent Ben Franklin to France to lobby the French government to provide material aid to the colonists. And so when Lafayette arrives in Philadelphia, because he is an aristocrat and he comes from the court of Versailles, and he, you know, knows Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette well enough that he has stepped on Marie Antoinette's toes on the dance floor. At first, the Continental Congress just lets him participate because they're trying to butter up the folks back home for money. And Washington is skeptical at first, but very quickly Lafayette just rolls up his sleeves and gets cracking and pitches in, and all he wants is for his coach to put him in the game. Meanwhile, you know, Washington's army is continually deserting him in droves because that army is so underfunded and underfed, and here's this kid, and even though he has this fancy background and he is so young, he all he wants to do is help and participate, and because Lafayette's an orphan and Washington had no biological children of his own, they quickly kind of have this father-son relationship, and then it's further deepened because of the divides within the American side, and many army officers and Continental congressmen want to fire George Washington, and Lafayette is with Washington from the get-go and constantly bucking up Washington and, you know, giving Washington his full support. So, and then as, you know, finally the war comes to an end and George Washington finally becomes George Washington, the fact that mm-hmm. Lafayette was so beloved to Washington and such a stalwart friend and son figure, that certainly deepened the sentimental aspects of the Americans' relationship with Lafayette.
We're talking with Sarah Vowell about her new book, Lafayette in the Somewhat United States. And I really like that you bring out that here's George Washington. He's older. He's, you know, from a more kind of staid background. And then you have this young, really exuberant Frenchman. And they clearly had this very strong affection for each other, but they expressed it in really different ways.
Washington was a bit more stoic than Lafayette, but I think that's true of just about everybody. I mean, he was very effusive. I mean, I think some of that came from him, from his youth, but some of it came from being an orphan and an only child. And Jefferson described Lafayette's canine appetite for affection, and he does have this kind of puppy dog quality. And, you know, Washington was more of an old dog quality, I guess you could say. So, but the letters, I mean, what Lafayette is so effusive in his letters that Washington does kind of soften up and return Lafayette's affection as much as he can.
You bring out the irony that the American rebels were asking for help from a monarchy in France to help them break free from another monarchy, that in England. What was in it for the French?
Hate, revenge. I mean, they just, the animosity between the British and the French went back hundreds of years, and you know, at least starting with the Norman conquering of England in 1066. And you know, the one reason Lafayette was an orphan was that his soldier father had been killed in the previous war, which the Europeans call the Seven Years' War, and we call the French and Indian War. And so the French were still broke from that war and completely humiliated. And at first, I mean, it takes a while for them to enter into an official alliance with the Americans, but before that, because they don't want to provoke the British into a full-on war, so they're kind of, for a while, they're just channeling money and supplies to the rebels on the sly. And the whole reason for it is because it's the whole the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I mean, it makes no sense for this absolute monarch to be funding and eventually throwing in with these Republican rebels. But that's how deeply the French loathed the British. I mean, remember when France used to own Canada? Well, they still hadn't gotten over losing that, for one thing. So they were just still so humiliated from the last war, and they just hated Great Britain so deeply that, you know, they could get past the fact that they loathed pretty much everything the rebels stood for. Not Lafayette. He was one of those Frenchmen who was caught up in Enlightenment ideals mm-hmm. about justice and liberty. But the government of France, they really had no business helping out these anti-monarchist punks, you know.
We have just about a minute left, Sarah, and I want to make sure we let people know about the events you have this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll be in Madison tomorrow, and you'll be in Milwaukee on Saturday.
That's right.
And we'll make sure that that information is up on Facebook. Sarah Vowell, thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Sarah Vowell's most recent book is Lafayette in the Somewhat United States, and she'll be visiting Madison tomorrow and Milwaukee on Saturday.